Phil's, Hawkers Hill, Birchwood, Colorado.
Phil would have loved this, Emma said with a warm smile, taking in the excellent turnout of children and adults alike as every area of the cafe and its surroundings teemed with citizens. They were all citizens of Birchwood and surrounding towns for this opening day, since that was the kind of thing Phil would have done, and indeed had done, when demand for spaces inside New Care Grill and Bar and Grill outstripped supply on days of particular extraterrestrial significance, when Birchwood was back under the microscope and in the thoughts of too many tourists to count, much less accommodate. Piper, whose remarkably advanced abilities of speech had come on leaps and bounds in the past 4 months, and who had celebrated her first birthday in the interim, played happily in a sandpit with Tara and some slightly older children. Phil's did a roaring trade on its first day, even winning a visit from Henry just before closing time, when he was helped up the hill by Mr. Bird and the welcome sight of Chip Petrovich.
I'm going to have to confiscate your free meal card, Henry said to Clark. You know, now that you're a rival cafe trying to run us into the ground. The next thing I might buy for this place is a giant drive-in screen, Clark replied, laughing along with his old man. I don't know, though. Do you think anyone in Birchwood would be interested in a drive-in?
They shot the breeze for a little while, and after closing time passed and no one else was around, Clark gave each of his family and friends a free ice cream. One time only, which they all enjoyed until the Colorado sun started to set. Henry and Mr. Bird left as soon as they were done, thanking Clark for the hospitality, and more seriously, telling him that Phil would have appreciated the idea, the hustle, and the fact that Clark had named the new business after him. It was especially rare for Henry to ever say something remotely sentimental, which was simply a reflection on his character rather than a criticism, so Clark appreciated it in turn. Shortly after they were gone, Emma lifted a small box from the lower storage part of Piper's stroller and gave it to her. Remember? She asked the toddler. Piper happily took the brown box and passed it on to Dan.
For you, Dada.
Thank you, sweetheart, Dan said, just as gladly receiving it. He noticed only then that a small gift tag, immediately familiar, adorned the box. It had a cartoon spaceman on the front, and Dan already knew the message on the back before he looked. Aim high and enjoy the stars, Dan McCarthy. Never look down, never look back. Love, Emma. From my telescope, he smiled, sentimental at the years-old memory, but also more than a little curious as to what it represented. The box wasn't large by any stretch, maybe big enough for a pint glass and little more.
You should probably open it before it gets dark, Clark said after more silent seconds than Dan realized. Although, actually, it's something that's better in...
Tara coughed to cut Clark off before a potential spoiler spilled out of his unthinking mouth. He got the message. Dan then opened the box and grew even more confused to find a nondescript black remote control.
Is there a TV I can't see?
For now, no one gave anything away. Wait, Dan said, his eyes lighting up. Clark, did you really get something like a drive-in screen? Does it come out of the ground like how a remote brings our projector down from the ceiling?
Just press it,
Emma smiled, relaxed about the gift given that she knew Dan would like what was about to emerge even more than the admittedly cool-sounding screen he had just speculated about.
And this is from all of us, not just me.
Without further ado, Dan pressed the large green button in the center of the remote control. Moments later, his eyes didn't just light up, they also popped out of his head.
No way, he beamed.
The first thing to catch his attention was the sound, and when he turned his head towards its apparent origin, the storage shack behind the main cafe building, he saw that he had been well and truly duped in the best possible way. For this was no storage shack at all, it was a dedicated observatory pod with a fully retractable exterior and a huge built-in telescope. He could hardly contain his excitement and didn't even try. Like a child with a new trampoline, he sprinted over and looked all around it before getting in.
There's a box in there that we got you too, Tara called to him. An extra thing I thought of at the last minute to help you see more stuff?
Dan spotted this box and opened it with less fanfare or delay than the first, by now giddy and keen to see what else they had gotten him. Sweet, he called back when his eyes fell upon the mini red hue flashlights, designed to allow him to read something or look around in the dark without ruining his night-adapted vision, like a regular flashlight or phone would. You guys are the best, he added, walking back over. He went to Emma first, knowing that realistically this had been her idea, and probably mainly her execution, too. Tara and Clark were next to leave, going with the idea of giving Dan and Emma some time in the mini-observatory, but they made it only a few steps before Tara raised the suggestion of taking Piper with them.
It's going to get cold, she said, and this way you guys can stay as long as you want. We'll take her to your place. Piper, what do you say? Will we take you home and have a nice bath?
Oh, bath,
Piper said from the stroller she had been sitting in for only a few minutes after climbing into it of her own volition. She climbed straight back out.
Mama?
Be good, Emma said, waving a hand and feeling her heart melt as Piper did her own usual wave in reply, which was less of a moving wave motion and more of an opening and closing of her hand. Within a couple of minutes, Dan and Emma were lying inside the shell of the pod's retracted walls, next to the telescope's base. The stars always make me think, Dan said when far more than a few were visible in the still darkening sky. And this is a great spot. High, dark, quiet.
What are you thinking?
Emma asked him. Right now? Right then I was thinking, if you could see 5 years into the future.
Definitely not, she said. Seeing the future without having any control to change it is what drove Billy to madness on Sanctuary and made the Smalls sedate him, and the only reason he ended up okay was that he got to come back and see that it wasn't, you know, real, or however you want to think about the whole gate thing. That was some weird timeline corruption.
Dan breathed slowly and deeply. I know. I guess I wasn't thinking about that side of everything, more just thinking about what I'd think of this scene if I saw it 5 years ago. I wouldn't have believed any of it.
All we ever have is right now, Emma said, shuffling closer. Even later, when we get there, it's going to be a new right now, and that's where we're going to be. Life is one long rolling now. Live the life you're in, love the ones you're with. That's the way to go, Dan. We're doing it right.
I figure I must have done something right, he chuckled, wriggling his upper arm slightly to nudge Emma's head and make it clear that he was talking about ending up with her.
More than you know,
Emma said, turning to peck him on the cheek.
So much more than you'll ever know.
Silently, peacefully, and perfectly, they gazed up and up and up. At a million stars and a billion worlds with infinite stories to tell. Both knew that their world would be nothing but a speck from any other, with distant viewers having no idea of the lives and loves and lies and losses playing out on this wonderful planet of Earth. And there it was, under the light of untold pasts and the windows to untold futures, that Dan and Emma McCarthy lay quietly together for the rest of the night. All by themselves, but never, ever, ever alone.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Not Alone, Revelations, Not Alone, Book 6. Written by Craig A. Falconer. Performed by James Patrick Cronin. Executive producers Catherine Stewart and Mike Charzok. Producer Chelsea Pita. Copyright 2020 by Craig A. Falconer. Sound recording copyright 2020 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.